I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sports Saturday,
a presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three, covers by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, Cougar fans, and welcome into another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. And this is an exciting show because this is the final show before football is back down in Provo, Utah, as fall camp will begin this upcoming Wednesday as the players report on Wednesday. First practice coming your way on Thursday. So we've got a great show full of interviews and segments geared around fall camp that'll get you ready to go for the 2021 football season. We'll have a quarterback on the show starting out hour number two. That is Jaren Hall, a guy I believe will be the starting quarterback for BYU. He joins us in exactly 1 hour from now. We'll have the offensive coordinator for BYU football on the program as well, Aaron Roderick. He'll join us in hour number three. We'll also hear from tight ends coach Steve Clark as well. And Mitch Harper, he's on vacation, but he's going to be a part of the show as well. The BYU insider himself, he can't get away from the program each and every Saturday. He'll come on at 12:30. We'll have him back on for the top five, and he'll do some fall camp bold predictions with us in hour number three. But as always here on Cougar Sports Saturday, we want to start things off with the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
The leadoff this week is, it's the same thing we did last week. Because in this ever-changing world of college athletics, there's new information coming out each and every week. And yes, I am talking about conference realignment, possibly conference expansion. And I want to go back a little bit and recap what has happened up to this point. So back 10 days ago, the Houston Chronicle breaks a story that Texas and Oklahoma are interested in leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC. And it was a bombshell news story that rocked the college football landscape. And we were wondering, are there legs to this story? What's going to happen here? And boy, did this thing move fast and furious. Because on Monday of this week, they informed the Big 12 that they will not renew their media rights when they expire in 2025. So they still have a long way to go in the Big 12, but they inform them, we're leaving in 2025 when the TV deal is up. Then on Tuesday, those schools, led by their president, sent a letter to the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, requesting an invitation from the SEC. And it did not take long for the SEC to vote on whether to accept those schools, and no surprise. Well, maybe a little bit with Texas A&M. I think we kind of knew that they didn't love this move, but they had no choice. And so on Thursday, the presidents in the SEC it was a unanimous vote that they will be accepting Texas and Oklahoma. So that was fast. Within 10 days, there was this rumor that was very substantiated, and then not even 2 weeks later, Oklahoma and Texas are on their way to the SEC. When? That's to be determined. There's still a lot to be figured out, but it was a landscape moment. And now the question, the real question is, what happens to the Big 12? And the Big 12 and BYU have a long history over this last decade. The Big 12 has flirted with the idea of expanding multiple times. BYU's flown down to Texas and given presentations, and each time the Big 12 has not really been receptive to expansion. Now, I think the reason for that is mostly money, because they figured, hey, if we can just keep it at 10 teams and split the pie, that's more money for us. Why go to 12? The College Football Playoff Committee doesn't care. We know that we have less Power 5 conference opponents than everyone else. No big deal. We're going to keep doing it. And I think that was a big mistake, because if you go back to the 12, was the conference that was affected the most in a negative way. They had a 12-team conference. Texas A&M bolts. They're gone. Mizzou follows them. They're off to the SEC. They're down to 10. Nebraska takes off to the Big 12. Colorado loses their rival, because Colorado and Nebraska are big rivals, and Colorado gets an invitation from the Pac-12. You're down to 8. And I think the first mistake the Big 12 made was back during that year when they're down to 8. And rather than looking forward, looking ahead, making a big move, they just backfilled two of the four spots. And they weren't backfills that really moved the needle. They grabbed TCU. Now, TCU was coming out of the Mountain West, and they had some nice years. You think about the Andy Dalton team that went to the Rose Bowl. Good team. TCU is a good program, but they don't move the needle, especially when it comes to money. And then they bring in West Virginia from a failing Big East Conference, and that was a poor geological fit. And West Virginia is a team that really wanted to be in the ACC for a long, long time, and that never materialized, and they jumped at the opportunity to jump in the Big 12. But the Big 12, back then, the example I keep thinking of, Cougar fans, is the Big 12 at that time, it's like they woke up in the middle of the night and their house was on fire. And at that moment, they woke up, it was crazy, things are happening fast, you grab a couple things, you get out of the house, and luckily the house doesn't burn to the ground. You salvage some of the house. And what they opted to do was, rather than move or build a new house, they said, we'll fix this up, and this works good for us. We like what it is. We're going to stay here. Even though we just went through a catastrophic fire, we're not going to try and rebuild from the ground up. And then what happened again 10 days ago is, talk about the worst luck in the world, but a fire happened again to the Big 12. And they woke up this time, and rather than getting as much stuff out of the house as they could and trying to salvage it, they woke up, got out of the house, and then said, who did this? I want to find out who's burning our house down. And rather than salvaging as much as they can, they started to point the finger and determine who was the cause of this. And I think that was a big mistake that is going to result in the end of the Big 12 conference. Because they had an opportunity when Texas and Oklahoma left 10 days ago to be offensive and say, okay, this is disappointing, but we can kind of understand it. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to whine? Are we going to complain? Are we going to send a cease and desist letter to ESPN? Are we going to point fingers? Because there was a story in CBS Sports where the commissioner of the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby, said, I'm absolutely certain. This is in reference to now other conferences trying to come and grab the remaining members. I'm certain ESPN was involved in the American Conference trying to poach our members. And I believe the Big 12 should be the one doing the poaching. They should be going out to the Mountain West. They should be going out to the AAC and trying to build the best conference possible of what's left. Because having a great conference that can compete with the SEC, that train's gone. That ship has sailed. It's no more. So what's the best thing you can do next? And they could have gone out and maybe contacted Boise State, and I think BYU would make a great fit. And you go to the AAC and see what Houston's up to, Cincinnati, UCF. And why stop at 2? Why stop at 4? Why make the same mistake you made 10, 11, 12 years ago, backfilling? Be progressive. Look at what the SEC is doing. They are expanding. They want to have the best brands possible to garner the most money. Now, that's not an option for the Big 12, but you can grab the best of the rest. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Instead, they pointed fingers. They whined and complained. They're sending cease and desists. It's all irrelevant. You can't get Texas and Oklahoma back, and there's no brands out there to bring that kind of money, and they have chosen to just let the house burn down to ashes trying to figure out who is the cause of this issue, and it's going to be the end of the Big 12. And that's a real bummer because there's some good teams there, and if they were to, you know, last week on the show I said they should form a 16-team conference, get BYU, get Boise, get San Diego State, get the best of the AAC and try and build something. Will it garner the same amount of money that they were able to get before? No. But that's irrelevant at this point because you can't control that anymore. The money train left when Oklahoma and Texas took off to the SEC. Now what the Big 12 needed to do was salvage what was a rest in college football, and they chose not to do it. And I think it's the end of the Big 12 as we know it. And now I want to get to our Cougar Sports Saturday poll of the day as we get ready for a break. And we'll text me, 57500. Be a part of Cougar Sports Saturday. The AAC, with the possible additions of the remaining Big 12 teams, is that the best option for BYU in this next wave of realignment? Let me know. We'll get to the poll. We'll get to much more of that after this. We'll take our first break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Touchdown! Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's 12:37 here at KSL Broadcast House in Salt Lake City, Utah. Gorgeous Saturday, and however and wherever you're listening to the program, we appreciate it. And you know, make sure to be a part of the show. Text us, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our podcast, download the KSL Sports app. All that would be meaningful. Right now, I want to get out to the phone line and bring in the BYU insider, Mitch Harper, joining us. Mitch, I wish you were here, but I know that a man's got to take vacation from time to time, but glad you can still be a part of the show, man.
Yeah, happy to be on the show, Matt. And I got to say, right now, I'm in sunny St. George on an inner tube on a lazy river taking this phone call. Technology's pretty amazing. People are looking at me going, what is this guy doing taking a phone call in the lazy river? But when Cougar Sports Saturday calls, I'm ready to go.
Every Saturday, all year long, we don't miss this. Even when you're catching some sun and you're in the lazy river, you're on the program. I love it, Mitch. Let's start with the poll, because conference realignment, man, it is moving fast and furious. What do you think is the best option out there for BYU right now? Maybe it's independence.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, Matt, because I think that for BYU, they have to pursue the best possible path to getting access, I believe, to a power conference, whether that be Big 12, Pac-12. They got to get access to the power conferences. And I think that the fact that the Big 12 still has the autonomy label, that's valuable to me. But I think, though, any Cougar fan listening to this, they probably saw that news with the ESPN and Big 12 rift, and you instantly thought, uh-oh, like BYU's not going to deal with that group now, because let's face it, BYU values that ESPN relationship as almost much as anything known to man. Like, that ESPN relationship means so much to BYU. But if there was an invitation from the Big 12, if there was an invitation from the Pac-12, that's what BYU's got to pursue. They have to get power conference access, because that's going to be more money. And I even think a Big 12 with the remaining eight plus BYU plus UCF, Cincinnati, and Boise, I think that could be a league that still conjures up more money than maybe what BYU is making currently as an independent.
This is what you said is exactly what I argued to start the show, which is, and this is why it's so frustrating from Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12, is stop worrying about the past. Stop worrying about Texas and Oklahoma leaving. That's done. You know, stop sending cease and desist letters. Focus on building the best conference you can with what's left. And so far, they have not done that.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, I do think that I kind of like that Bob Bowlesby did do what he did, because I think that ESPN's always been kind of a innocent bystander that, oh, they've never had any role in any of this. Like, come on. Like, the Big East kind of folded maybe because of ESPN. And maybe they've had a hand in the Big 12 as well. Like, TV, it's kind of exposing, I think, to the masses that TV runs a lot more than they put off. Yeah. And ESPN, they control college football. And I think it's one of the reasons why BYU is so aligned and never entertained the thought of NBC or Fox when they had TV negotiations this past couple years ago. They didn't even consider it because ESPN ultimately controls college football, and they're always going to be aligned with ESPN as much as they can.
Yeah, that's a great point. Let's shift gears, Mitch and Mitch Harper, on vacation in the Lazy River down in sunny St. George, yes. Joining us here on Cougar Sports Saturday. You got to love technology, man. This is phenomenal.
I do. I got some Dippin' Dots right next to me. It's
hey, is that
living life?
Are you allowed? Are you allowed to take the Dippin' Dots in the pool? That seems like a
It's spilling a little bit. I might need to hit up Carrie and Scott Mitchell with their new like weight loss program they got going on because I'm not conforming to that at the moment. I got a lot of Dippin' Dots near me.
Oh, that's good. Just a moment ago, I was talking about fall camp, which first practice Thursday, players report the day before, and I threw out a couple names as breakout guys that we're just gonna hear buzz from because it can't be the Isaac Rex, can't be the Tyler Algier. Those guys they already burst onto the scene. They're hot commodities. Who are some guys in your mind that you think could become the talk of the town throughout fall camp?
I think one of the guys that I look to that I think is going to turn a lot of heads in camp is someone like George Udoh. He's now cleared, healthy, ready to go. I think he's going to be a big piece to what BYU does schematically this season. You know, BYU is a very multiple defense. Elisa Tuiaki talks about that a lot, and they got a lot of guys that can play a lot of different positions. I think George Udoh, you know, Matt, you and I had a conversation with Ed Lamb a couple months ago, and even Ed Lamb said he could play linebacker, he could play safety, he could play cornerback, and you know, BYU needs some help, back-end help in that secondary. I think George Udoh is going to be someone that kind of, you know, he missed all spring ball, but I think he's going to hit the ground running. He's going to put together a nice fall camp. And I think on the offensive side of the ball, I think someone like a Miles Davis running back. Now, I know Tyler Algier is the number one guy. No questions there. He is the feature back. He's one of the best running backs in college football. I still believe there's opportunities for a second guy to maybe push Lopini Katoa. And I think that's Miles Davis. I think Miles Davis is going to be someone we're talking quite a lot of bit. I know people have also mentioned Hinkley Rapati or Falau Rapati, but I really am high on Miles Davis, and he's someone I think is going to kind of rise up through the ranks in fall camp this coming up week.
That's an interesting choice just because that running back room, Mitch, is loaded because Jackson McChesney, he's ready to go. He's healthy. Yep. Sione Finau. I mean, if Miles Davis were able to make that jump, that would be huge.
Yeah, I think Miles Davis – to me, if I had like a pecking order of who the best running backs are, I think he's number three behind Algier and Katoa. And I think he's good enough to maybe push Katoa to be that second back. I think Miles Davis is going to be a breakout player in some capacity for BYU. And whether that might not be like leading role in terms of rushing yards and touchdowns, because that's going to be Algier if he's healthy. But we know that BYU always has to kind of dig deep into their running back depth. And Miles Davis is going to be a player that's going to get some opportunities this season.
Mitch Harper with us here on Cougar Sports Saturday. His own show. He's a guest on his own show. He's on vacation right now. We're glad to have him. What'd you make of the Pro Football Focus rankings at BYU number 22? That was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, I was refreshing to see because I feel like there's too much a groupthink in college football where people just kind of go with what everyone else is saying and they say, oh, Zach Wilson's gone. BYU, there's no way on, you know, it's the season that BYU could potentially have a 9-win season. Like, why can't they? Like, why can't Kalani Sitake develop another Dax Milne-type guy to emerge as an NFL prospect? Like, why can't that happen? It happened last year. Why can't it happen this year? So I think everyone just kind of looks at seven Power Fives and Zach Wilson's gone and just assumes they're going to take a massive step back. I disagree. I'm more aligned with Pro Football Focus's ratings. And what I like about their ratings, too, it's very data-driven and analytically focused. And you look at the data with BYU, it's what Kalani's been talking about this entire offseason and basically the entire program. Yes, they lost a lot of starters, but they bring back a lot of guys that have game reps, not just practice reps, but game reps. And I think also, too, Matt, and you know this as well as anyone, BYU, unlike so many programs last year that, you know, bring back 90% or 85% of their production from a season ago, BYU had a full season of uninterrupted, except for 1 week, that Army week, where they were practicing. You know, teams in the Pac-12 that they're going to go up against, that five teams, they started practicing, what, late October to December. BYU went from August all the way to darn near Christmas. Like, BYU was practicing every single day. So those guys that are now going to step into those big roles, they have been preparing, and they were around a bunch of NFL talent and kind of learned from how it's done, and they got that winning experience and that taste of how to win big. I think this team is much better than the national pundits give you credit for. So, yeah, I align more with what PFF thinks. I think this is a top 25 caliber team. They got to prove it. There's some unknowns for sure. But I think the BYU's definitely got the talent and the pieces to be a top 25 team. It's not unreasonable at all.
We'll end with this, Mitch, and then we'll let you get back to the Lazy River, and hopefully those Dippin' Dots didn't melt too much. But staying on Pro Football Focus, one of the other things from that top, you know, rankings of all 130 teams, they had a little blurb about BYU, and at the end, they says Baylor Romney's going to be the guy, and he's got a lot of talent around him. Like, how do you sit on the quarterback competition right now as we're getting ready to go to camp? Does that sway you at all?
You know, I think that maybe I look at the past offseason, dating back to the moment the Boca Raton Bowl ended to now. And I think, like, honestly, from my personal view vantage point, I feel like I have at times slept on Baylor Romney to the point where I've really never let my mind picture him being that number one quarterback against Arizona. But I do believe that Aaron Roderick feels like they can be that top 25 team like PFF believes with Baylor Romney. I think they also believe it, though, with Jaren Hall. I think they also believe it with Jacob Conover. I still believe, though, with Jaren Hall, there's just this element of just this kind of dynamic superstar potential. And I think you always want to have that kind of superstar potential. When BYU has a superstar at quarterback, they're big time. And they are that top 25 program. And they're the talk of the West. I mean, you're talking about the best program out in the Western region of the United States last year. They come back. There's a lot of confidence. I think Jaren Hall is the guy. He's been around the program for 4 years. I think he's going to do great things in fall camp, to the point where I feel like he's going to separate himself so much like Zach Wilson did last fall camp. I don't think it's a knock on Baylor Romney. I don't think it's a knock on Jacob Conover. I just think Jaren Hall has just kind of got the command, the respect, the personality, the charisma that just all adds up and aligns. So I look at that guy and I think that's a starting quarterback for BYU in 2021.
And that is Mitch Harper on vacation from a Lazy River in St. George. We appreciate the time, Mitch. You'll be back. We'll get you for the top five. You can't miss that. And then we'll have you in hour number three for some fall camp bowl predictions. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. All right. We'll take the break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll keep talking BYU football. How about that? We'll talk some football after this.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Covers by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. And all summer long, we've been talking with players and coaches. And right now, we're going to talk with one of the quarterbacks down at BYU. He is Jaren Hall. Jaren, thanks for spending a few moments with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
When you look back at spring ball, how do you think you improved personally? And then kind of along those lines, how have you continued that improvement throughout summer?
Yeah, I think spring ball for me was just experience, you know, getting more snaps, getting caught up back to the flow of the game, you know, being out for, you know, a year or so from real-time action. So for me, it was just getting a feel again, and then, you know, obviously after a couple practices, a feeling it, just trying to improve the best I can, slowing the game down. So it was good, you know, and can't ask for much more.
What were you doing last season while you were sidelined with, I believe it was the hip injury?
Yeah.
What were you doing to still try to stay honed in and dialed in?
Yeah, I mean, for my schedule, is as if I was still healthy and playing. You know, I was at every meeting, every lift, every team activity, you know, that I could be outside of doctor's visits. So still felt like I was part of the team. I was still learning as if I was a quarterback in the meeting room. And you know, it was very beneficial for me to learn, to be with the guys and Coach A-Rod and Grimes. So, you know, that was how I took the approach of last year to be involved and to continue to progress.
Jaren Hall is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Zach had an unbelievable year. What did you and maybe some of the other quarterbacks take away from watching him go through that and have the success that he did?
Yeah, man, everybody has an opportunity, and when you're given that opportunity, you got to make the most of it. You know, Zach had a crazy, ridiculous work ethic and love for football, and that's something to admire, you know, about him and something to learn from. So for me, it's, you know, gaining a greater desire to do more every day, and I think that's something we all learn, that it just takes hard work and dedication, you know, relentlessness, and ultimately that's any way you achieve any goal in life, right, whether it's sports or work or whatever it may be.
It's kind of amazing, Jaron. I think back, Zach arrived at BYU January 2018, and then a few months later, you arrived. So this is your fourth fall coming up with the program. I know not always healthy, but still, fourth year part of the program. I mean, where do you feel like you've grown the most as a quarterback from when you were, heralded recruit coming out of Maple Mountain and coming back from the Mission?
To be honest, my understanding of football and the game, offenses and defenses, has grown immensely. I always tell people, if I knew what I knew back in high school, I'd have been a five-star quarterback going to any – you know what I mean? It's like the type – and not to say I was that good, but that's the type that I've learned. That's how much I've learned about the game. And so it's insane, the knowledge that Coach Roderick and Coach Grimes had, the other quarterbacks and players. So just what I've learned mentally about football, and that has helped me slow the game down when I'm out on the field. So that's really how I've grown, from then till now, and just my love for the game really has taken off.
Speaking of now, what have you been focusing on this summer now that spring ball is in the past, but what's been the focus, what's been the takeaway as you gear up for fall camp?
Yes, I mean, obviously health, to make sure that I give my body the best foundation to stay healthy. Not that I'm worried about injuries in the past, they'll take care of themselves, but I've taken a new approach to staying healthy, more prevention side, learning all I can, reading books, learning from the greatest athletes in the world like LeBron James, Russell Wilson, these dudes, and how they stay healthy. So that's one thing I've done really well at, and I feel good doing it. And then obviously just my approach on the field, your everyday work, film study, and just trying to progress everything to the next level.
Because I know that you're a hard worker as well, and Zach was always kind of applauded for his work ethic in the offseason. He went down and saw John Beck. Have you turned to any quarterbacks or individuals this offseason to improve your craft, to be ready for this quarterback competition, which seems like it's going to be quite the competition in August?
Yeah, so I still train with Dustin Smith. He's kind of the coach that really gave me my foundation in quarterbacking. He's the one that got me to college, and I thank him every day for everything he's taught. So I still work with him, and I actually, we just talked about in the last show we were on, I'm training with John Beck now as well, so we'll head out there. We go every couple of weeks, and I just had the opportunity to learn from him and his plethora of knowledge of football and how to be a better quarterback. So, just using those two and learn as much as I can has been really helpful and kept me focused on the goal.
With Beck, I remember last year Wilson saw like Drew Brees and stuff. Have you kind of been rubbing shoulders with some other guys? Because I know Beck's kind of the it thing when it comes to quarterback
for sure.
Development.
No, I think I started when, guys are off to OTAs right now and mini camps and other things. So, a lot of those guys are off doing their thing. So, for me, it's just been a lot of college quarterbacks and high schoolers I've been able to work out with and kind of rub shoulders with.
What news or notes did Aaron Roderick give you at the end of spring ball? I imagine there were meetings that, hey, this is what we are, as a team right now, and here's what I want you to do. What were some of his notes to you at the end of spring ball?
Yeah, the same as it's always been every year. To continue to improve, to continue to better your relationships with your teammates. It's important for a quarterback to be into all the different groups. BYU's special in that way. You got a lot of different guys, whether they're married, single, different backgrounds, whatever it may be. So just understanding the guys and creating better relationships was, I think, we've all done better this offseason. So that's kind of my focus, from a team perspective to, get on the same page with everyone and just further that brotherhood,
It's such a unique opportunity for whoever wins this job, Jaron, because you got Tyler Allgeier back, Lopini, Gunnar Romney. I mean, there's just so many household names that have produced, especially in 2020, but throughout the years, throughout spring ball. Were there any other up-and-coming guys that kind of stood out to you that you anticipate will have a role on the team this year?
I mean, I don't want to put a name on anybody. I don't want to leave anybody out. We have so many young guys that have, yet to prove themselves on Saturday that will, plenty moving forward. And so, I mean, we just have – as a quarterback, I know all of us talk about it. We're blessed, and we're just excited to throw to the arsenal weapons that we have, and to use the backs that we have. So, I can't pinpoint anybody really, but all I can say is we'll have an enjoyable fall, and we'll have a blast playing football together.
What would it mean to you, Jaron, if you're named the week one starter to open up against Arizona?
Yeah, I mean that's what you plan for, that's what you wish for, hope for, work for. So, I mean everything to me. That's why I came to BYU to play. And it's been a long time coming now, waiting patiently and just working, behind the scenes. So, you just hope that it all works out and pans out. But, we'll see come fall camp, what the coaches decide.
Your dad obviously played here. We know that. And he was a great player at running back. Did you grow up a diehard BYU fan because of that connection with your dad?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, BYU was always in our backyard. I don't ever remember going to a single other high school or a college football game until I was in high school being recruited, you know, other places. Everything was always BYU as a kid, you know. So we weren't those guys who keep up on stats and this and that. We weren't crazy because, you know, we were busy playing basketball and baseball, going out, you know, whatever we were doing as a family. But when it came to football and basketball, we loved BYU. We talk about it. We love seeing my dad's trophies and his jerseys and wearing them for Halloween, this, that, you know. So it was fun, you know, and he never talked about his glory days at all. He was always very humble and, you know, by design to teach us. But, you know, it was very cool to see that we had a dad who played college football and went on to play professionally.
Jaren Hall is our guest for a few more moments here on Cougar Sports Saturday. What went into the decision to focus on football full-time, and how difficult was that?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. You know, seeing opportunities guys had to move on and go to the league was a huge one for me. You know, that's been my goal as a little kid, to go play professionally. And I think football is my best opportunity for the time being, you know. And also health, right? You know, it's hurt during baseball season, and it, you know, very well could have been due to baseball season and kind of crossing over, doing too much. So it was just a decision that me and my wife talked about and my parents and family, and just decided that was the best thing for me moving forward.
What's the relationship like with you and Baylor and Jacob? Because I think people on the outside looking in would just think, oh, it's competition. Maybe these guys are going at each other. I mean, what's it like? What's your guys' rapport like with one another?
No, it's a competition, right? I mean, on the field, we're grinding. We're each trying to be that guy, right? But then off the field, we're in the film room. We're out playing golf. We're out playing, you know, ball, whatever it is. You know, we're brothers at that point. You spend so much time together. You know, it's like your family. But with the professional understanding that we all want to play, you know, so it's a very strict competition. But I think we all enjoy it, and it brings the best out of us.
What makes Aaron Roderick a great quarterback coach? Because ever since he stepped into the program, he's just had success. Because there's been injuries, and you've stepped in against Utah State. I was watching that game a couple nights ago, and it's just like, man, you were just dealing both all through the air and on the ground. And then Baylor steps in, and he's having success. What has Roderick done that's created this culture where just no matter who it is, like, you guys are having success?
Yeah, Coach Rod's very consistent in the culture he wants to build, and that's trust and faith in every single person on the team, every quarterback in the quarterback room. You know, any guy who's ever played is, you know, as a quarterback here under A-Rod's guaranteed to have been told at some point by him he has all the confidence in the world. And he never deviates from that path. You know, he's very consistent. He's always reminding us, you know, he's confidence in our offense and us. And I think that's what makes him great, aside from his love for the game, his love for film, and teaching us as much as he can, you know. And it's very contagious. The love for football is contagious. And he does it so meaningfully that, you know, it just makes you want to play, you know, your best for him.
A few more moments here with Jaren Hall here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Later this month, we have Juneteenth coming up. What does that mean to you and just being a representative here on the BYU football team?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of my history. It's part of my culture. And I'm proud of my past and learning about, you know, my ancestors of the past. You know, it means that the world has become a better place, right? All that, there's a lot of negativity out there from the past and things going on currently, but I think that's something to look as, you know, a pillar of light, something to look forward to. There's good in people. You know, people aren't perfect. They make mistakes, but there's always something good that's going to come later. You know, it just takes time. And for me, I just look at that as a day of remembering that, you know, we're all children of God, and there's a lot of good to be done still, but there's still a lot of good out there, you know. So live your life the best you can and love everybody around you.
You have a unique experience with your dad having been here, and I'm sure he's spoke to, you know, how things have grown. But what do you feel race relations at BYU have improved over the years, you feel?
Yeah, it's improved. You know, it's as simple as that. It's gotten better. You know, it's I don't think by taking a population and numbers means anything at all. You know, it's the type of people you bring is what matters. And so there's good people in every race and every culture. And so it's all about those kids wanting to be here. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, nothing to do with the university or, you know, what's going on there. But it's the type of kids you want to bring. And so you just go out and find them. And that's what BYU does. And that's why I love this university.
That is Jaren Hall. He might be the starting quarterback, so we'll find out shortly as fall camp is just a few days away. We'll take the break. We'll talk more about that quarterback room after this. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Covers by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the show. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Been a wonderful show here. The final show in the month of July, and then next week we turn the page to fall camp. But right now, we got to turn the page to one of our favorite segments of the program.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5 brought to you by Economic Partners. Big BYU fans, Economic Partners. And if you're looking for a business valuation, contact econpartners.com. Love having those guys a part of the program. But now we got to bring in a guy we also love having a part of the program. That's the maestro, the producer, the maestro, Dallin Graff. Now, Dallin, what do we have on tap today?
Glad to know that I'm welcome here. It feels good, you know?
You're more than welcome, Dallin.
He's
the most tenured member of the Cougar Sports Saturday group.
He is, and he's the defending champion in this segment, too, because last week he beat us. We ended up 2-2, but we couldn't get the fifth one. Who was it? Leonard Kittle? Greg Kittle?
Chitty.
Chitty.
Chitty, bang, bang.
Leonard Chitty. Yeah, and board op Dave Meekum gave some great stories of the time, you know, when he was kicking. Positive exclamations when he made them, and, you know, you could probably put together what you might have said when he missed a couple of kicks, you know.
It's funny you said Board Op Dave had some stories, because I was like, I know when Leonard Chitty played. It was in like 86 to 1991. Board Op Dave, no offense, but I think you will not let go of 1986 to 1991. Ty Demers time
era.
And Covey, for whatever reason, you love that era. Anyway,
yes,
so I knew when Chitty played, because Dave had endless, copious amounts of stories about the Chitty era.
Yes, he had the anecdotes. But this week, we're going to look at the defense. One of the big position battles, position groups, talked about it a couple weeks ago, to watch into the 2021 season is the safety room.
Yep.
Safety has been such a strength for BYU for so long. This year, Chaz Ayu and others will look to sort of fill the roles left by some of the seniors from the past year. And again, with the depth of talent that BYU has had at safeties in secondary in general, started digging into some of the statistics. And this week for the top five, we're looking at the last five BYU players to have five or more interceptions in a single season.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
So it's just the last five to have accomplished it. So, you know, by time is what we're looking at. You just got to give me the player, and we'll go from there. So they had to have at least five interceptions in a single season. We're just looking for the name, not the year. And I won last week, but Mitch started last week. So we go to Matt with the first guess. What are you thinking?
I'm not thinking, I'm knowing, because this is kind of cool.
Kainakua is an easy one. In fact, he did it twice. 2015, 2016, he each had six interceptions each that year, each of those two seasons. So five plus interceptions, obviously, for him. He's a leader. If you look at statistics at BYU, interceptions in general, he was big.
Is he the best safety to ever have played at BYU in terms of a ball hawk ability, just kind of playing that center field position and picking off passes?
I think he's top three safety regardless. I think he's right there with Kyle Morrell. I think Kainakua he's an all-timer.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best to ever do it at that spot.
Yeah, seriously. All right, easy one out of the way. Well done. To Mitch.
Okay. I usually have just a handful of names coming up right off the tip of my tongue. This one is got me a little bit stumped. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go with, how about Jarrell Guilford? Okay.
Great guess. Yes. Current BYU coach Jarrell Guilford had six interceptions in that 2001 season. Puts him up here on the list. Great pick.
Yeah. Guilford, the best one of that season was the one against Utah.
Yeah.
He seals the victory for the Cougars, where they were 12-0 after that win. And Jarrell, it was great catching up with him a few weeks back on the program, the pride of Hawthorne, California. You can just tell, like, being at BYU he loves the BYU way, and it's great to see him at BYU because he's now recruiting athletes that had similar experiences like him, you know, growing up in California, Southern California, never in their wildest dreams think they're going to go to BYU, and then they turn out to have some special careers. So General Guilford, he was a guy that stuck with it, too, and that's what I love about his career at BYU. Even though he faced some adversity, he was a stud with the Cougars.
Great point. Okay, we're 2 for 2. Matt?
I'm going to go a little deeper into the past and take a stab at Derwin Gray.
Interesting. Okay.
No Derwin Gray, but I got to give you the information here because he did have 5+ interceptions twice.
Okay. So we have a timestamp now.
Not included in the most recent 5. Yes. So okay. 1992, Derwin Gray, 5 interceptions. In 1990, he had 6. On a single season, so a couple big time seasons for Dr.
Board up. Dave is furious right now because we're not going to dip into his era that he loves. That's probably good for us.
Yeah, stay out of the 80s today.
We have a deep reverence for those of you who love the 80s BYU football. We have a deep respect. Don't get it twisted. We love it, but it slaps a little different when you can point to names that you watch. Anyway, I'm going to go with a guy that's on the program right now. I'm going to say Peyton Wilgar. I thought he had it 2 years ago.
That was a good guess.
Yeah, no Peyton Wilgar. I believe he had 3 interceptions that year in 2019.
Yep. That's where the whole linebacking crew had like 50 interceptions.
Yeah, and that was a lot of interceptions for the team, but individual leaders are not quite as high. So, Matt.
I'm going to go with a safety. A safety that I think could have been an NFL player, had a chance, and said, NFL's not for me. Andrew Rich.
Okay. Good guess.
Yes, great guess. Andrew Rich, 2010, 5 interceptions. And as you said, he was, he's in this line of safeties that BYU's produced over these last few years, and he's one of the best ones.
Did he resurrect the safety position? Because I'm trying to think who was great before him. And there were some good ones, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Andrew Rich was one where you're like, this dude is legit. I'll never forget when he went down in that Utah State horrible loss. When he went down, it was devastating defensively, and shortly after, there was the defensive change where Bronco took it back over, but that guy could have been an NFL player, I believe that.
Yeah, he was an undrafted free agent with the Cardinals, and then he called it a career. I thought it was always cool with him, too, was he had scholarship offers to go to Boise State, Oregon State, and he turned it down to be a walk-on at BYU. Again, it's just BYU's a unique place where they get players that just dream of playing here, and sometimes that passion and that dream translates into being a maybe better football player than the star ratings would say you should be. So yeah, Andrew Rich, he was stud. And I would say he was probably that best safety since I would have said like Jared Lee 10 years prior in like early 2000s. But yeah, I mean, there were some good ones. Scott Johnson was pretty good. Hodgkins was okay.
They were good, but they weren't NFL caliber.
Rich was a stud.
Yep. Sure. All right, we go back to Mitch.
Let's go with, I'm trying to think here. It's interesting with BYU because for all the listeners out there who've consumed a BYU football game, you know with BYU cornerbacks, they're dropping back 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like it is death, taxes, and BYU cornerbacks are 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. So it's like they're not, usually these, like, it ain't DBU. It's not Patrick Peterson and LSU. It's 7 yards off the line of scrimmage, you. So let's see here. I'm going to go with Brian Logan. How about that?
No Brian Logan.
I'm gonna take a different path here. I was looking for the deep cuts earlier, and now I'm just going to go with the household names, and I'm just going to cross them off the list. Daniel Sorensen.
He had that one game, though. What was it, Georgia Tech?
Yes.
Where he had, I think, 2 interceptions. That was a good game in 2012. One of the best games I think BYU's ever played in Independence.
Was that where Taysom throws to Hoffman and someone's draped? Are you talking at home?
No, the road game in Atlanta.
Oh, the road game
where
was phenomenal.
Jamal, as a 17-year-old, had a coming out party. Let's see here. I'm going to go with Robertson Daniel. I thought he had a few 2014.
So are we 1-1 right now?
2-1. You are up, Matt. 2-1. And we have the last two names. I'll give you a little hint. Pre-2000.
Okay, I got one. Tim McTyre.
Ooh, okay. Ryan Gray. Oh!
Oh, man. Whoa. That is pre-2000. That was the hint. I'm going to go with the linebacker. Let's try. I hate this guess. Levi Madrieta.
That wasn't bad. That was
a great
bad.
Pull. Yeah.
I remember meeting him at a Mount West basketball tournament concourse at the Thomas and Mack. Anyway, let's see here. I'm going to go with Heshimu Robertson.
Okay. How about. Oh, man. How about Brady Popinga?
Omar the Blanket Morgan.
What? Okay.
I'm loving all these guesses, though.
We know it's in the 90s. Jeez. Okay, I'm right on the cusp. I gotta put this one away. Big time. You dropped this name earlier, so Jared Lee.
Think about the poor strategy by me. Gosh. How about Dustin Staley? Luke's brother. That gets forgotten.
We're really reaching for it here. This is probably a no, but it's worth a shot. Rob Morse.
Okay, before 2000, if it's not like Derwin Gray's interesting here, that's what's making me kind of. Okay. How about, let's say, Brandon Heaney out of Chabuco Hills, California from Air Force. Dang it.
Nate Solberg.
Oh. The man with the fastest 100-meter time out of Granger High. Solberg, I think, legit ran a 4.29, I think.
Are we out of time? I feel like.
We should probably.
Give me one more.
One more chance for Mitch to tie it up.
Okay, I am going to say Chris Ellison. Gosh, dang it!
Matt wins the top five, 2-1 this week.
This is insane!
The last two names that you're missing here, 1998, Jason Walker.
Oh, number two, he had the pick at Washington. Oh, gosh!
Six interceptions on the season, and then 1995, Eddie Sampson. Five interceptions that season.
Had a nice thin mustache, Eddie Sampson did.
Now they're coming back to you after your loss. Nasty thin mustache.
Props to you, Eddie Sampson. Gosh, Jason Walker. I met that man. I met him a few years ago at a grocery store. I'm like, hey, you're Jason Walker. And he's like, yeah, like he works with like marine like boating stuff now. So shout out to you, Jason Walker. But I need to put that respect on that man's name. Number two, he was a good athlete too.
Yeah,
I'll take it, but I don't feel good about it. It's one of those.
It's not the prettiest win, but a win's a win.
Eddie Sampson's kind of a forgotten guy. He doesn't get brought up like some of the names we were mentioning. Interesting.
It's true.
All right. Well, that was the top five. Dallin's been cranking up the heat the past couple of weeks. Jeez.
That highlights, though, how the BYU's interception like leaders the last 25, 30 years. Not much to write home about, like what Kai Nakua did.
Yep.
It's kind of like that doesn't happen often.
And since fall camp's right on the corner, that's not going to be one of my bold predictions coming up in hour number three. Yes. That a current guy has five interceptions.
Yeah, and the top five is always brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and consulting firm. If you need a business valuation, contact econpartners.com. They're BYU MBAs. They're diehard Cougar fans, so hit them up at econpartners.com.
We'll take the break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. More. All summer long here on KSL News Radio, we've been revealing the KSL Sports Top 10 BYU football players. We've already revealed 10, 8, and 9. And in this week, we're doing 2, and there's a reason for it, Mitch. Has both of them cracked the top 10 this year, but did not really play. I mean, one of these guys played a few snaps in 2020, and the other did not see any time whatsoever. You might be able to guess who that is. But number 7 on our top 10 countdown is a newly converted safety, Chaz Ayu. And Chaz Ayu, Mitch, high hope last year. He was kind of in that hybrid role and unfortunately suffered an injury in the Navy game and did not return in 2020, but this is a guy that BYU needs him to end up being one of the 10 best players on the team, because that safety position's a thin right now. And if he can play like he did as a safety, as he did in high school, I think BYU will be fine at that safety position.
Yeah, Chaz Ayu's got a ton of talent. I think, you know, his recruiting status and his story there from his recruit, four-star guy, had offers from everyone in the Pac-12, Michigan. I mean, you name some of the big programs he got offers from. I mean, he was someone that was on recruiting radars as an eighth grader. So there's always been this, like, top-shelf type talent from a guy like Chaz Ayu. And last year he probably could have played on that injury, but I think they erred on the side of caution because they thought, you know, free year anyway, lower leg injury, kind of want to be cautious because they have big plans for him in the future. And now he's ready to go for this season. He's going to be healthy and full steam ahead. So, yeah, I feel like he has to be in that same mold of guys we talked about in the previous segment, like a Kai Nakua, Andrew Rich. But at the same time, kind of in that new shape of position where it's a safety slash linebacker, kind of like a little bit of Fred Warner, too, at the same time. So kind of a hybrid of the both. So Chaz Ayu has to be big in this defense. And, you know, it feels a little high, this ranking right now, because he just hasn't done much yet. But I can see it. I think by season's end, he's definitely going to be in the top 10.
All right. And at number six, another guy who did not play at all in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're grouping them together here. This is a quarterback, Mitch. It's Jaren Hall.
So off the injury, second down. Katoa featured back. The option look again. Hall.
End zone touchdown, BYU. Jaren Hall.
Jaren Hall at number six, and this is one of those things where, yeah, you look at production in 2020 and even 2019, probably doesn't belong in the top 10, but someone has to run the show down in Provo, and whoever that is has a bevy of weapons, and if he stays healthy, I think he'll have a great statistical season. And for me, I voted that way. I had Jaren Hall at number four. I think he's going to be the starter, and I think he's going to have an outstanding season for BYU.
Yeah, I had Jaren Hall in my top 10, too. I had him at number eight. You know, I feel like this is kind of now an unofficial endorsement by the KSL sports staff. We're saying, hey, the quarterback winner is going to be Jaren Hall, and I think that's the safe bet. I think it's the right choice for Aaron Roderick and this coaching staff to go with Jaren Hall. He's put in the time around this program. This is his fourth fall with BYU football. He's healthy. He's sacrificed baseball. He's all in to be a quarterback. And the things that he's done this offseason to go work with John Beck and put in that work, he's doing everything he can to go into this fall camp, which starts up on Thursday, to just kind of hit the ground running. And I feel like he's going to be very good for BYU. I don't feel like he's going to be anywhere as effective or maybe like the big numbers like Zach Wilson had. I think there's going to be some games where BYU might have to win a ball game where he only throws for 100 yards. But I think he's got the talent to continue to extend drives, whether that's through the air or on the ground. Jaren Hall is a special talent, and I'm excited to see what he could potentially do with a full season if he can stay healthy as BYU starting quarterback, who I think he's going to win the job.
The first half of the top 10 has been revealed. Gunnar Romney, Jake Oldroyd, Keenan Peely, Chaz Ayu, and Jaren Hall from 10 to 6, and we'll continue all the way to number 1 before the opener at Arizona in Las Vegas. So I guess I should say at Las Vegas against Arizona, but we'll continue to reveal this top 10 throughout fall camp. We'll take a break here on the other side. It's the offensive coordinator at BYU, Aaron Roderick. He'll join the program next.
KSL. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio all summer long. It's been fantastic to catch up with coaches and players alike, and right now it's a special treat for us to be talking with the offensive coordinator down at BYU, Aaron Roderick. Aaron, thanks for spending some time with us again. We really appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
I remember back at the end of spring ball, because you've been asked the quarterback question a million times, and you'll be asked it a million more until someone's named. But you said that you didn't want to have any comments until you had a chance to speak with them. When you spoke with them, what were the words you said to them in terms of the next steps, summer, and getting prepared for the ongoing battle in the fall?
Well, the first thing I covered with those guys was that it's a long season, and there's a good chance we're going to need more than one of them.
Yep.
And, you know, there's about 20 teams a year that make it through 12 games with one quarterback. And, you know, that leaves the other 110 teams are going to need more than one. And so the odds of us needing more than one guy to get through this year are high. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the importance of being professional, pushing each other, competing with each other, but also being ready to handle whatever decisions we make and handle it with professionalism so that you're ready to play when your time comes. Because, you know, sometimes I've seen in the past, maybe a guy doesn't take the news real well, kind of goes into pouting mode, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's his chance to play and he's not ready because he maybe didn't handle tough news the right way. So we've sort of prepared for that. And then just, I think another thing we talked about is that each of these guys are still young. Jaron and Baylor are sophomores, and Conover's a freshman. So there's a lot of football left to be played in their careers, not to mention a full, you know, just the season this year ahead of us is 12-game season. But there's a lot of ball left to be played, and so there are a lot of good things that can still happen for all of those guys. It would not be impossible for each of them to still have a great career at BYU. I mean, that can shake out a lot of different ways. And so we're just, you know, those are the most important things right now to keep in perspective, and then to just keep competing one day at a time, get better each day, and then, you know, we'll see what happens.
How valuable is it to have a quarterback battle where two of the guys are going into their fourth season in the program? That's pretty unique.
It is unique. And, you know, people keep asking me about our personnel and you know, who we lost and who we have coming back. And I don't look too much at who we lost because you can't do anything about that. We lost some good players. But when you look at our depth chart, there's a lot of players on that roster there or on that depth chart that have played a lot of football, and the quarterbacks included. You know, Baylor Romney's played a lot of football. He's been around. He's played in games. He's played in big games. He played quite a bit last year, more than your – Zach had such a good year, you forget. Baylor got in a lot of games and played well, and he played well the year before. Jaron played really well for us in limited opportunities. And so I have a lot of confidence in those guys because I've seen them do it in a real game, and no reason why they can't do it again.
We've seen snippets of Jaron from 2019, and as you mentioned, we've seen quite a bit from Baylor in various games, and even going back to 2019, we have not seen Jacob. From Dr. Ball, what's a skill set or two that's really impressed you from Jacob Conover?
He's a good passer, man. He can throw it. He's got a good arm. He's accurate, and he has a lot of confidence in himself. There is an obvious air of confidence about him. Maybe you might even call it swagger. He's got that thing, that you can see why he won so many games in high school. He's tons of confidence and sort of an infectious personality. It's not obnoxious. He's not arrogant, but he reminds me a lot of Steve Sarkisian. I remember when I got here, Sark was the QB. I remember being in the huddle, sort of learning the offense, being nervous, and I'm in the huddle and Sark calls the play, and he just has a way of making you believe this play is going to score. And Conover kind of has that about him. He's a competitive dude.
Talk with Aaron Roderick here on KSL News Radio, Cougar Sports Saturday, and BYU football fall camp's going to be opening up on August 5th and counting down the days to that. But right now it's the off season, and a lot, you mentioned personnel is a big talking point this time of the year when it comes to the off season. And, you know, I was just curious with the quarterback besides Jaron, Baylor, and Conover, How many other quarterbacks do you have in the room? Soljay still there? Jake Jensen? Who else do you have?
Working our way through that. Jake Jensen. I guess it's time to say this. He's going to go play for a junior college in California. I think he went to Contra Costa College in NorCal. I'm pretty sure that's the one. We've had Rhett Riley on the team the last couple of years, and Rhett is may or may not be with us. We certainly are welcoming him back. He's also looking at what his options might be to get on the field, don't blame him for that at all. And he's been a great member of our team, and so he might be with us. But then we're always looking. I mean, it never ends. Recruiting never ends. And with the transfer portal, you always have to be alert for who the next best available player is. And so we're trying to get at least one QB per year, one new QB per year on scholarship. And so if that's a portal guy, it's a portal guy. If it's a freshman, high school freshman, then so be it. If it's a JC guy, I mean, I'm open to anything. Just we got to make sure we keep the room stocked with good players that fit our program. And, if you keep enough good guys in there competing with each other, then the cream will rise to the top.
How do you envision working out the repetitions and the playing time to incorporate some of the new guys who didn't participate in spring football? Puka Nacua, Samson Nacua, Dallin Holker. How are you going to get them into the mix?
We are very thorough in how we plan our practices. Every rep is scripted. Every rep has a purpose. Every play. When we go against our defense, like in scrimmage type settings, they'll just call the game like they'll just call the defense like a game, and so we don't know exactly what defense we're going to see. But when we go into scout team periods and stuff like that, we script the defenses we want to see, right down to which coverages or blitzes or whatever that, and in addition to that, we script who's going to be in those plays. I mean, we plan it out. You don't just haphazardly go out there and then at the end of the day go, how many reps did Tyler Allgeier get? I mean, there's a plan before practice. What's the right load for Tyler Allgeier? What's the right load for Peeney? And then how do we get some of these younger guys enough reps to find out who they are? You do the same thing with your receivers and your tight ends. You want to get your veteran players that are proven guys enough work that they're staying sharp. And then you want to give whatever's – then you want to be smart about what's left. And there's a plan before you go out there again. It's not just like, random.
Talk with offense coordinator Aaron Roderick here on KSL News Radio. And I remember back the year when you were off from coaching for in 2017, you studied a lot of programs. I remember you mentioning that when you joined the staff in 2018, you studied like Northwestern, yeah. NFL teams. I'm curious, this offseason, has there been any maybe pro offenses or college programs that have maybe piqued your interest in terms of studying and just kind of learning what's out there in the world of football?
Yeah, too many to name, and that was one of the really great things about last year, the COVID year,
sure.
Quotation marks. We had several months. Spring ball ended early. We weren't allowed to go on the road recruiting. We weren't even allowed to go in the building at work, and we couldn't be around our players. So here we were, college football coaches, with months of time on our hands. I had a lot of fun studying other teams in that time, and we were able to, we can get those, whatever those games are or cut-ups are on our computers from home, and I watched a lot of football then. And then this offseason we've done it again. Some of it's assigned projects where I'll ask certain members of the staff, hey, go study this, go study that, come up with some projects for each guy, and then guys report back, and we'll dive into these things and see if there's anything there that can help make us better. And then sometimes it's just for fun, you just want to see, hey, why is this team so good? What are they doing? What's their secret? And so, yeah, we do a lot of that. And then with the NFL and college football.
What's the plan for the rest of summer before fall camp for the offensive staff? I imagine there's some time off in there. And then maybe, as you said, yeah. These every, play in camp is there's a purpose, there's a script. I imagine there's a lot of time that goes into getting that prepared as well.
Yeah, we've got the first five practices of fall camp already planned out. They're planned out, detailed, scripted. We're ready to roll. We do get some family time off in July. There's a recruiting dead period in July where you can't have recruits on campus anyway. So that's the perfect time to. Clonin gives us that time for family, and then when we come back for fall camp, we can just roll right into it because we're already set for that. So right now it's players are working out. They're doing player run practices. We have position meetings with them. They'll continue with that stuff through July and get a little break right the week before camp, and then we go. And the idea is that you're staying sharp, you're in great shape, and you're hungry. You come to camp like excited about football, and that's I think there's no way not to be excited this year. I mean, it's just fun to be back. It's gonna be fun to have fans in the stands.
A few more moments here with the offensive coordinator down at BOU, Aaron Roderick. How important is it to get the offensive line up to speed? And what I mean by that is you lose Brady Christensen, you lose some NFL caliber offensive lineman. How important is it to get that group solidified in fall camp to have another great offensive year?
Well, it's huge because everything starts with them. If you can't block people, you got no chance. So it doesn't matter how many good skill guys we have if we can't block. But I don't look at who left. Brady was a great player, but I look at who we have to work with, and that group has a lot of guys that have played a lot of football. So, yeah, it's hard to lose Brady Christensen. He's such a good player, but I'm really glad that Blake Freeland is the guy taking his place, because Blake started games 2 years ago in 2019. He started against Boise State and started at right tackle the rest of the season. And then this past season, he rotated all year. He played half the season, you know. So he's a veteran player who's 6'9" and super athletic. So, you know, he's taking over at left tackle. We'll be good. I feel great about that. And, you know, Harris LeChance at right tackle, that's another guy who's a 6'8" and athletic, played a lot of football for us. He's a veteran. And our right guard spot that is open, you know, you got Joe Tukuafu, who's been a multi-game starter last year at center, and can easily play guard, easy. And Connor Pay, who's also played a lot of football last year as a freshman. I don't know if a lot of people didn't notice the bowl game. James was out. Joe started the game and got hurt early in the game. Connor Pay came in and we didn't skip a beat. We played the whole game with Connor Pay at center. He hadn't played a rep of center all season. All he did was snap every day before practice, and then he'd go play guard or tackle. And he came in and we didn't skip a beat. So when you just consider that these guys have all played in a lot of games, and now you still got James Empey and you still got Clark Barrington, who are 3-4 year starters, we're going to be fine. And so, yeah, Brady's great. I love him. We're going to miss him, but these guys can play. We'll be good.
Is Nanu, Keanu Saliapaga, is he healthy, ready to go for fall camp?
That is in question right now. Yep, he's not back yet.
And you mentioned Connor Pay. You know, he that bowl game, what's even more impressive is that the O-line coach was there and Jeff Grimes, you know, and a guy that was heavily involved with the O-line too, they're not there, and he steps in and still performs at a high level against a pretty good UCF team.
That was one of the more impressive things I've seen in my coaching career, was the way Connor played in that game. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Could he be someone that could play almost any spot on the line? Is he that type of lineman?
He's versatile like that. He can play tackle, guard, or center. And five-spot linemen are rare. You know, it's, you know, usually you have sort of inside guys and then tackle-type guys, and he can do it all.
Last couple things here for you, Coach. You know, the wide receiver room, Gunnar Romney and Neil Powell back, and those guys, that's a great starting point for your wide receiver room to have those guys. But I felt like Chris Jackson was someone who made some significant strides in spring ball. Him, Cody Epps, I know he's battled some injuries, but then this wide receiver room feels like it's maybe as talented as BYU's ever had, and you could speak that. You had experience being in a wide receiver room at BYU, so this is a pretty loaded group.
Yeah, it's a good group. you mentioned everybody knows Gunner. Gunner's he's been a productive player for us. He's a deep threat. Neil Pa'u, I think, is the most underrated player in our whole program. Very unsung player last year, but that guy's a good football player. He is a matchup problem for anybody we play. Teams that want to play man coverage against us, Neil just abuses corners. When you try to cover him with somebody bigger, he's just too quick. He's too athletic. He's a tough guy. He's really smart, excellent blocker. You know, I think if he stays healthy, I believe he'll play in the NFL. He's a good football player that doesn't get a lot of attention for some reason, but I promise you the teams that play against us know who he is. And then we've added the Nakua brothers, and then you mentioned some of these younger guys that are up and coming. So what's left now to do is just go prove it. You know, we got to go do it on Saturdays against good defenses. So is the material there? Yes. These guys are good players. Now we got to go do it against seven Power 5 teams and Boise State and South Florida. I mean, these guys are good teams. So it's going to be a challenge, but I got a lot of belief in these guys.
And you also got guys like Braden Cosper, Keanu Hill, Tanner Wall. So, yeah, we could keep going on. There's a lot of talent.
Yeah, Keanu, man. Every time Keanu got an opportunity last year, he stepped up and played well. Cody Epps, all through camp, was, like, right there with all the veteran players. And you mentioned he had a few injury issues that kind of held him back. But he was a big-time high school player that he's got a really bright future ahead of him. Chris Jackson's one of the fastest guys on our team. It's competitive, and they're going to have to fight to get on the field because those veteran guys can play. And so, but we're going to probably need them all this year. You know, with this schedule, you know, your depth will get tested. And I thought in 2018 and 2019, our depth got exposed in the second half of the season. And last year, our depth was a strength, and now this year our depth's going to get tested even more with the physicality of these teams that we're going to play. So we're going to need every guy we have.
He is offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. We appreciate it. Have some good family time, good summer. Beware the Beaver supercharger stop on your way down to Vegas in a little bit. That place can get... Now, here's what's interesting. They have put in like 14 new stalls, so maybe it's fine, but I've been scarred, so we're referring to driving electric vehicles and charging on a road trip.
I know nothing about that, Matt.
Welcome to the cult that is the Tesla owner.
Here's a random question for you, speaking of being a Tesla owner. Do you use hold mode when you drive?
I forget which one that is.
Hold mode is when you stop and it just automatically goes, like an 8 shows up on the screen. Because you can set it to be like a gasoline car where you just roll.
I'm not on the one that's like a gasoline
car. Me neither. So you're on hold. You're on hold.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember the names of them, but I'm on that one.
I've got reverse, neutral, drive.
Hold is the one to be on. That is, it's phenomenal. Yeah, it's you know, it's also cool, Mitch. You only drive with one foot.
Man.
It's phenomenal.
Cool. I'm envious of you guys with the Tesla. Well, Coach, we appreciate you spending so much time with us and being generous.
Fall camp 2021 right around the corner for BYU. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper here wrapping up the pre-fall camp appetizer edition of Cougar Sports Saturday before it begins on Thursday. And then next week we'll start to react about fall camp because there's some enormous storylines. That quarterback position is a big one. How does BYU follow up a great 2020 campaign? What kind of impact could this year have on potential moves with realignment? So a lot at stake for BYU, and it all starts this year and this upcoming week with fall camp. And just like we've done in previous editions of Cougar Sports Saturday on this type of show, we'd like to throw out some bold predictions, see if anything will stick. And let's start with one of your bold predictions, Mitch.
I think my first prediction I'm going to go with is Puka Nacua will be hands down the number one receiver for BYU. He's going to be talked about a lot, where we're going to hear him you know, in this conversation, like, oh, this big play, like we talk about highlights from an individual practice, we'll hear a lot of, oh, you know, Jaren Hall or Baylor Romney connected on a deep pass to Puka Nacua. You're going to hear that quite often, I would imagine. I remember back in 2004 when Todd Watkins came onto the scene, it was like every single practice. John Beck, 70-yard touchdown pass to Todd Watkins. I think it's going to be a lot of similar things like that where he's going to make these big highlight plays and he's going to establish himself as the number one wide receiver.
Along those lines, I've got a wide receiver bold prediction as well, and that is that the two returners from last year's team will be in the top three. So I think it'll be Nacua. I still want to see who's going to win that. Cause I don't want to sleep on Sampson because he's got the experience playing at Utah, and he's been playing college football for a long time. But I think that Romney and Pau will hold on to starting spots to start. I think it's going to be fluid throughout the year, but I think the two returners will be starters against Arizona.
I think that's a good pick. I mean, Gunnar Romney, Biletnikoff Award watch list. He's talented. I mean, if Puka Nacua is 1A, and I feel like he is going to be that number one guy for BYU, Gunnar Romney is right behind him. I think, and it's a great luxury to have. I think there's great value with Gunnar Romney being a number two guy, and you saw that last year where he stepped in and produced over 700 receiving yards as that number two wide receiver behind Dax Milne. Some guys just maybe aren't the number one guy. Maybe Gunnar could be. We'll see. I think he was very well-spoken at Media Day when we talked to him, and I'm excited for his progression, but I'm just very high. I'm bullish on Puka Nacua, and I just think he is a difference maker to the likes of which we haven't seen at BYU in quite some time.
And you may say that's not bold. I think it is because I think a lot of people think that Neil's going to fall out, and I don't think that Neil is going to fall out of that top group.
Yeah, I think that is a good point because he is the name that always gets forgotten. Like I fall victim to that too. Like I bring up Sampson, Puka, Gunner, Cody Epps, and I'll throw in a Terrence Fall. But like, oh, here's Neil Pau who's locked and loaded. Another bold prediction I'm going to go with is that the starting five of the offensive line will be solidified. They will be one of the strengths, I think, coming out of fall camp is that starting five of the offensive line. The depth I have questions about, but the starting five will be very good. And I think we'll hear a lot of praise about that group.
On brand for me, since I've been on Jaren Hall since last winter, I think he'll be the name of the starter at the end of fall camp, which really is a two-week period, and then you're into prep for the next game. So I think that by mid-August, Jaren Hall will be named the starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's my bold prediction, too, at the quarterback spot, is that Jaren Hall will win the job. And I think, honestly, he will win the job in short order.
Yeah,
I think he's the type of guy that, like, after the first week, it'll be clear to these coaches that Jaren Hall is the man. Like, last year, that was one of my bold predictions, was that Zach Wilson will silence the critics and make it clear like he is head and shoulders the number one guy. I think that's going to be a similar deal with Jaren Hall. He is the number one guy. He's worked with John Beck. He's put in all this time. He's locked and loaded. He's ready to win this job. This is his time. This is his stage. I think Jaren Hall is going to be head and shoulders the number one guy.
My final prediction going to the defensive side, I think one of the names on the team, but specifically defensively, the top name that you're going to hear a buzz about as just being leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, Tyler Batty. I think he's going to be the star of the defense at the end of fall camp 2021.
That's a great pick. I think another name to keep an eye on that's going to get some buzz from the coaching staff if they do bring up some of these names, because sometimes you got to pry it out of these coaches like, hey, who's the headliner guy? Atunai Samahe. I know Kyrus Tonga is a massive loss, both figuratively, literally. I mean, the guy was huge. But Mahe, I think, is going to be very solid for BYU in the interior of that defensive line. Comes back from a scary heart disorder that he had last year that was quite, life could have impacted his entire life. He comes back. He is going to be a significant presence in the interior of that defensive line, and I think him with Batty and Lopa Leotawa, there's a nice foundation there on the defensive front.
There you go, Cougar fans. Our three bold predictions each for fall camp. Football's back. Football's back. We're a few weeks away from BYU and Arizona. Camp is going to start this upcoming week, and boy, it's a beautiful thing, Mitch.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing, and I would also add real quick, the defensive line will become the strength of the defense this season.
All right. I like it, and BYU needs it. So that'll do it here for Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper, Dallin Graff, Matt Biamonte. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next week as we react to some fall camp stuff. So have a great weekend, and thank you.
And really appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.